make a joke about not wanting the Patriots to win a Super Bowl and things you'd rather do instead. Maybe one of those things was probably not to watch that Super Bowl as a whole. Ew.
Bruh.
Derek Kramer, Frank Arcuri, welcome to the Leftovers Podcast. And I promise you that we will at least be slightly more entertaining than the Super Bowl that was last night.
That was...
It was booty?
Yes.
It was booty. You probably could have gotten more entertainment watching a game with John David Booty.
You know, you made that. We were hanging out for the game last night. You made that reference.
Yep.
And it still makes me laugh.
Because it's booty.
Because it's booty.
Because
exactly.
who doesn't want some booty?
Well, yeah, it's true.
Anyway, dear God, what a putrid ass game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say it, and I'm just gonna be frank here.
I don't
not Frank Arcuri. I'm going to be frank as in like the descriptive term here. That game was ass. I feel sorry for everyone that tried to actually take that game seriously.
Yes.
I really feel bad for the fans. For once, I finally feel like this is how bad this game was. I legitimately finally feel bad for Saints fans. Because I feel like their team would have done a better job in that game. And their salt actually has meaning for once because the Rams put up a paltry 3 points.
Yeah, but you say that, and yet I would still believe if the Saints were to have only put up 10 points, even if they won against the Rams and they lost 13-10 last night. It'd be that we'd be having the same conversation.
No, we wouldn't, because it would have been another touchdown.
You would have been talking about how it was
Frank,
a little bit of a closer
game. It would have been a whole nother touchdown.
I know.
Dude, that's how bad it was, is that
it was,
when the ball crossed the 50-yard line, it was exciting.
Yeah.
That game was ass.
I don't know. What happened?
It was bad.
This was a game.
Some people are spinning this as, oh, it was a great chess match between Brian Flores and Wade Phillips, the defensive coordinators, against these offenses that are so potent. No, you want to know what I saw? I saw bad football.
Bad football.
I saw bad football. That's what I saw.
Like,
it's terrible bad. Like, that was, I swear to God, and I'm not kidding when I say this, I got more enjoyment out of watching the Bills failing massively with Nathan Peterman, and I have personal stake in the gosh darn Bills when I say that.
I'll give credit.
I have more enjoyment watching Nathan Peterman fail with the Buffalo Bills than I did watching that Super Bowl in a pure football enjoyment point of view.
At least then there were touchdowns.
Yes, there was. You could at least enjoy. Oh my God. You could at least enjoy the travesty. There was nothing about that game to enjoy.
I will give credit.
As a cynic, that game, I was trying to find ways to laugh at it, and I'm failing more times than not.
I will give credit to Wade Phillips. He put together a good game plan to stop Brady.
No, he didn't.
I mean, yes, they got. But think about this. All those, even though the Patriots got all those yards. Edelman had 140 yards receiving. Gronkowski had, I think, 87. I think Brady threw for 262. That's low. Is that low for Brady?
That's pretty standard right now this year.
Standard. Okay, so it's average. So
but
Brady
he was
had
bad.
Brady was average in terms of his throwing. He just didn't throw any touchdowns.
He was
only
off
threw
target
one
a lot.
Yes. 21-35. That, like I said, I think that's more average for Brady. However, all of those yards,
real quick, I
and only
be a snark.
13 points to show for it.
I want to be a snarky butthole.
Go ahead.
What was his completion percentage?
Well, 21 out of 35. It's in the 60s. I want to say it might be less than 65%.
It definitely is less than 65.
It's 60.
Oh, look at that.
It's the exact.
Neat.
Yeah.
And yet you slam on Josh Allen for 59% completion percentage? It's like completion percentage is a metric that doesn't matter all the time.
And then you have Jared Goff, who had a 50% completion percentage.
Jared Goff looked as bad as his numbers did.
But yeah, he was bad. But it's, I give credit to Wade Phillips because they got the stops when they needed to, despite giving up yards. They only gave up. The Patriots only scored three times against that against the Rams defense. It's not bad. That really is. That's not a. That's a good defensive game for the Rams, and obviously the Patriots. I don't know how. I think that with the way the Patriots defense was playing, you know, only giving up 3 points, that's based on just how bad the Rams offense was.
That was bad football.
This was a game where both teams played to lose. Both teams were not trying to win that game.
It was the field position Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There were more punts.
There were.
Than there were points for the Rams. 8-3. As a matter of fact, now I'm genuinely curious about how many punts the Patriots had.
5.
So 13?
14. Hecker had 9 punts.
Hecker had 9 punts.
There were 14 punts.
The punts outscored the winning team.
Yeah. It almost outscored the game. If Gostkowski didn't make that last field goal, it would have been the same.
You want to know what this was?
No, it would have been the punts would have outscored the game. If Gostkowski didn't make that last field goal.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then you add in a missed field. You had a pair of missed field goals, one from each side.
You know what's the funny thing about that, too, is I almost called that. During yesterday, I was talking to one of our friends who was at the who we were watching the game with. We were going to pick up the pizza and wings that we had that was ordered, and I told him I feel like this is going to be one of those games where both kickers are going to miss their first field goal attempt, and Gostkowski missed his first one,
and then Zuerlein misses his second one.
Zuerlein missed the second one he took. I did call that both kickers would miss one, but I also was more specific that it would be the first one. Zuerlein made his first one. So I was 50% on that, but I was kind of like 75. I did kind of call that Zuerlein would miss. So I feel good about that, but even still, it's not worth with the way the game went.
No, nothing.
I would have rather been wrong and see the game end like 31-28.
Oh, man. I did a reaction video, a reaction podcast to the Sabres when they got their butts kicked by Chicago.
Yes, you did.
7-3.
Yes.
And I said in there that I would rather have done a lot of those things about, like, the jokes we had about things we'd rather do than see the Patriots win.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have put watch the Sabres game on that list. That would have been a line. After watching that Super Bowl, I'd rather go through that hell again.
Really?
That Super Bowl was bad.
I wouldn't blame you.
It was bad. It was probably the worst Super Bowl ever. And Broncos Seahawks has something to say about that. But that was the worst Super Bowl ever.
At least then there was touchdowns in that game.
It also wasn't a game at halftime.
But there was a lot of scoring. There was 51 points put up in that game.
Yeah, and a lot of them were from one team.
Okay, great. There were still points. The Broncos in that game outscored the Rams.
They almost outscored the Patriots. Woof. Yeah, that was the worst Super Bowl of all time for me.
Ever. Not even just for you. Just ever. When you get asked which game is the worst Super Bowl of all time, you will say Super Bowl 53.
What a calamity the NFL ends with. A terrible no call on DPI and a helmet to helmet, which, by the way,
yeah,
Roby Coleman got flagged early in the Super Bowl for what was supposedly a helmet to helmet. They credited it to Dante Fowler.
Oh, that's right.
And it was a football hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if any Saints fan was watching the game, they were like, now you call it?
Well, they weren't watching the game.
I said, if there were any.
Okay, that's true.
They would say that.
Did you see that there were pictures of Saints fans downtown New Orleans watching the 2009 game?
Some bars said they were going to do that.
Yeah. And then towards the end of the game in L.A. bars, some some of them turned off the game to put on American Dad.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. At least that. At least American Dad's more entertaining than that game.
Anything is more entertaining than that game. Watching snails race is more entertaining than that game. I'm not joking. There's
I know you're
drama
not joking.
With snails. I can call up a snail race with plenty of
enthusiasm,
gusto.
Yeah.
That was the worst Super Bowl of all time.
Yes, it was.
It was garbage.
Bad.
It was garbage. The halftime show apparently was garbage. I don't know. I followed all the takes.
Yeah. We didn't even watch it.
And then everything else was garbage. What else is it? Oh, the commercials were garbage. It's right.
We had the one.
We had one where HBO straight up killed Dilly Dilly and I was the happiest person in the world.
Yeah. That was a great commercial. Just because of that.
That was brutal. And awesome.
Yeah, and awesome. Exactly.
The Bud Knight.
That
was
the
just,
bright spot of last
Bud
night.
Bud Knight just got wrecked.
Yeah.
Little did we know it would be the epitome of that game.
Kill it the with Bud fire. Knight, the Bud Knight is all of us.
The Bud Knight is
and
all of us.
And then the other jouster is the Rams and Patriots.
It was just
that
terrible
game.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Super Bowl.
Now, you know what it was right at the end when the dragon breathes all the fire?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you had to do to that game. Kill it with fire.
Yeah.
Kill it with fire.
Yeah.
Oh, and the added bonus of, oh, by the way, the Patriots have their sixth Super Bowl.
Great.
Bleeping great.
Great.
Worst Super Bowl ever. Get out of here with this crap. It was terrible bad.
The offseason couldn't come sooner.
Oh, my God. And it's time to dive fully into mock drafts and scenarios and everything like that. Oh, and speaking of garbage, the Bills aren't going to be able to have to worry about any teams trying to trade up to get a quarterback, because the quarterback class is garbage, too.
Yeah.
Based on his performance in that Super Bowl, do you think Jared Goff would sit behind Josh Allen? Without a doubt, because I would say so.
I'd say so.
Josh Allen gets at least a touchdown in that kind of game, right?
Yeah.
Because running he can ability.
Run. He can run.
The way he played in the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Bills. Make it happen. Remember, the Bills weren't seen as worthy to be in the playoffs in a game against Jacksonville, and then we see it literally happen in the freaking Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That was
we
the worst.
We need to take that game and just...
It was the literal worst.
Fire it into the sun.
We need to do everything to forget that game. But the problem is that it's memorable for how terrible it is. That's the irony in all of it. Is that it is memorable because it was trash. There are defining moments in Super Bowls that make things memorable.
Yeah.
The Panthers-Patriots Super Bowl. John Casey kicking it out of bounds after they had just come back to tie it.
Yep.
Giving the Patriots field position. That was a defining moment. Terrell Owens playing on one healthy leg and Donovan McNabb puking in a huddle when they lose to the Eagles on... I mean, they lose to the Patriots on their last drive.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles, Brandon Graham recovering a fumble of Tom Brady on the final drive when everyone goes, oh boy, here we go. The Patriots have the ball last. David Tyree, Mario Manningham.
Yep.
Cam Newton making a business decision with a fumble late in the game.
Yep.
There's memorable moments. What is the memorable moment of this game? Jared Goff not being able to hit a freaking slant pass for half of the game.
Man.
Tom Brady looking rather pedestrian.
A tale of two Goffs.
No, I only saw one. He was bad.
Yeah, but early in the season.
Oh, right.
I'm talking that. Like, when he was making all the throws.
How about up until literally yesterday? There was only one other game that he looked that bad in. That was the Bears game.
Yeah.
And he looked far worse than that Bears game. Because, again, they scored a grand total of 3 points.
Yeah.
The Sabres in their putrid game against Chicago tied them.
Yeah. That game had 10 goals. And this Super Bowl had 16 points.
That's how pathetic it was.
Yeah. That is how pathetic it was.
Bet Sabres wild tonight. Do the Sabres outscore the Rams tonight?
They play tomorrow night.
Oh, I thought it was tonight. That's right.
Tomorrow night.
It's tomorrow night. Sabres wild. Tuesday night. I got my days mixed up because that's how bad the Super Bowl was. Because it didn't feel like a Sunday.
Well, you want me to read you off the practice lines and you could decide whether they could, whether they might outscore the Rams?
Well, let's talk about something real quick. Because you weren't here for it. I just decided to grab a mic in the newsroom, hit record, and start screaming.
Yes.
I'm not the too high, too low guy, and you know that.
Yes.
But that game had me irrefutably mad.
At everyone. I was too. But I also wouldn't have gone on the tirade that you did. That you did.
That is why
I wouldn't have done that.
Frank is an even-keeled person, whereas I have emotions that flow through me like a guy that just needs to scream all the time.
But I don't blame you.
But my main point was this. Terrible start to the homestand.
Oh, yeah.
And that was supposed to be a winnable game.
Yep.
They got too cute a lot with the puck. They were trying to make one too many passes. You saw a lot of times Chicago was just shooting when they had their odd man rushes, and it was resulting in goals. Like, yeah, you want your goalie to make some saves on that one, be it Hutton or Ullmark. But you,
when you have odd man rushes, it's just play the shot. If you make the save, make the save. If
shoot the puck.
Yeah. If when you have an odd man rush, just shoot it.
Odd man rush, it is a failure if you don't get a puck to the net.
Yeah. It doesn't even have to be like a great chance. You know,
it has to go to the net because you have one extra guy.
As long as it's on net. Here's a lot of players don't really think about this, though. Take an easy shot when you have an odd man rush for a rebound. Put it along the ice and make the goalie use his pads to make the save and hope it goes to your other player instead of trying to make a pass across a defenseman where it could hit him and result, you lose the puck and or you don't get the shot.
And then it would go the other way and Chicago would come back on transition and it would hurt them.
Exactly.
Man, that was one of the more angry times we've ever seen Phil Housley in the media.
Yeah. And it seems as though, I don't know if it's the players not listening or Housley's just doing too much. I don't know. But it seems like the players just aren't keeping things simple. They're overcomplicating everything. That's why they get too cute. Yeah. And maybe I don't know if that's because of what Housley is teaching them or coaching them. I don't know. Or he's trying to tell them to simplify their game and get shots to the net in whatever possible. But as a result, their team's not listening to the simplifying part. I don't know.
Either way, we're seeing a coach that is looking a little overwhelmed right now, and there's going to have to be legitimate questions be asked if they continue to slide. This is their last opportunity to be in a playoff conversation. They need wins in this. We put the benchmark at 10 points.
Yep. And I have 6 home games left.
You have 6 games to get 10 points and really get back in the conversation of things.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get easier.
No. Minnesota tomorrow. You play Carolina on Thursday. You play Winnipeg. You play the Islanders and Rangers. So, I mean, the Rangers, you should.
Maybe one game is easier than Chicago there.
But even still.
My problem was you got only 3 goals.
And you also have Detroit.
Yeah, my problem was you only got 3 goals on Cam Ward. And that was because you got cute. And because you got cute, you actually got burned the other way, too. But at the same time, what the hell is going on with this defense? There are critical errors being made on a nightly basis now.
Once again,
under a guy who came from a defensive background.
I mean, it also helped that he also had P.K. Subban for a little bit of it. And also Shea Weber.
Dude.
And Roman Josi.
Dude. Homie's a Hall of Fame defenseman.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
He should be helping these guys tighten up a little more defensively.
And I think once again, that comes down to overcomplicating things and not simplifying the game.
Again, it's just one of those things where we're seeing, like, on a nightly basis, that egregious turnover that ends up in the back of the net right now, or it's getting hit off the post, like in Dallas, where Tyler Seguin comes up with a primo turnover. Yep. Jamie Benn scores the only goal in the Dallas game with one. I mean, you even saw Rasmus Dahlin. It happened to Rasmus Dahlin in the Dallas game.
Yeah.
In order, it was Bogosian, Ristolainen, and Dahlin all in the first period.
Lawrence Pilot basically gets benched for the mistakes, too.
Yep. All right, so you mentioned something about lines and things being different here, and Phil Housley mixed it up late in that Chicago game where he had Eichel with, I think it was Skinner, Sherry and Pominville, and then he had Saboka with Reinhardt and Skinner late in that Chicago game. So you saw things get mixed up. Now what's the result?
Here are the lines for practice today. I'll start with the defensemen.
Okay.
Dahlin, Ristolainen.
Really? We finally get the Rasmus pairing.
Yep.
It's about time.
Hopefully it sticks. Because we've seen it before and it didn't stick.
Like I said, it's about time.
Pilot, Bogosian.
Really?
So
fans are going to be flipping happy about that one on Sabres Twitter.
And then Scandella, McCabe.
McCabe might help steady up Scandella.
Hopefully. And then you have Beaulieu, Hunwick with Nelson rotating in.
Nelson's getting back toward health.
Hopefully he comes back around the end of the homestand, probably. I think that'd be the goal.
And the Sabres are going to have to make a move on their roster.
Yeah. Well,
nine defensemen
Remy Yelly got waived.
But someone was called up in C.J. Smith.
C.J. Smith got called up.
So that's a lateral move.
We don't know what's up. He's kind of been he looks like he's injured.
The team's
right
not going to carry nine defensemen.
No, they're not. They're going to.
So a roster move is going to be made.
And that's where I keep saying, I think if Nelson is back in the lineup before the trade deadline, Beaulieu gets moved.
Yeah, they might do that solid.
They're going to waive a guy. I don't think they're going to waive Hunwick. So the forwards, Larson's the extra.
Because of the injury.
Because of the injury, yeah, and C.J. Smith getting called up. But Sherry is with Eichel and Kyle Okposo. Now, I think the reason is because listen to the rest of the lines. Skinner, Mittelstadt, Pominville.
Whoa.
Smith, Rodriguez, Reinhardt.
Gergensen's.
And then Saboka, Thompson.
My mind's blown right now, Frank.
So there's a lot of shuffling there.
A lot of shuffling. Saboka got put on the fourth line, which dude hasn't scored in 33 games.
About time. I like Smith, Rodriguez, Reinhardt a lot.
That should be interesting.
That looks nice.
Sherry with Eichel is always an interesting thing. The main question is Okposo, who for a long time this season has been struggling. Mm-hmm. As of late, he's got 5 goals in 8 games or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
I can double check that.
I don't think it's 5. It can't be 5.
I don't think so.
Might be 3-8. It's something like that. But either way, he's been far more productive than in most of the season.
Yeah, it looks like about 3 in 8 games, yeah.
3 in the last 8 games. It's still not a bad clip. That's almost every other game.
Yeah.
And it's funny because last season, and actually the entire time that Eichel and Okposo have been here, they've never been put on the same line.
Yeah, Okposo was always with O'Reilly.
He was always with O'Reilly and Reinhardt or something like that, and it just...
Or no, it was like O'Reilly, Okposo, and then Eichel, Reinhardt. And then you mix Kane somewhere in there and then somebody else.
But even then, they would put Okposo or Reinhardt on the off wing
yeah.
more times than not and put the other on the right side. because they had no left wingers.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing, and also now, and also the power play lines, first power play unit is still Skinner, Eichel, Reinhart, with Dahlin and Mittelstadt.
Risto on the second power play.
Risto's on the second pairing with Tage Thompson, Oposo, Rodriguez, and Sherry. And Thompson's also been rotating in with Pilot.
Okay.
So that's the line. That's the lines for practice.
The thing is,
today.
Is that we got to see if that sticks for an entire game.
Exactly.
That's the real challenge.
And, but hopefully, I think what we're looking at here is Housie's trying to get Eichel to spark, to get some life out of Poso and Sherry. Mittelstadt with Skinner. Skinner's been great. Middlestat's been playing better as of late.
He's getting numbers as of late.
And maybe with the guy with the leading goal scorer on the team, that would help. Pominville's on the line just to shore things up.
But he's also on the line as a finisher.
Yeah.
That's why they expect him to take shots.
I'm really intrigued by Smith, Rodriguez, Reinhart. You know, Reinhart's been really good this year. Now
Reinhart's been good this year, but the question is, can he drive the line?
That's the question. And we'll see.
And we'll see. Like,
we'll have to see.
But in his past, he's never been able to drive a line. He'll have to do it there.
Yeah, he'll have to do it there. But having a couple, especially with how well CJ Smith's been playing in Rochester, that would at least help Reinhart a bit. And then Rodriguez says he's been fine. It's just something.
He's been hot.
He's trying to. Yeah, he has been. So. At least with the forward lines, we're at least seeing Housley attempting to shake things up. And now we'll see if he sticks with it.
That's the real challenge.
And that's exactly. That is the challenge.
I would like to see what that Rasmus pairing looks like.
Yeah.
Together. And Pilot on the second pairing with Bogosian is something that perks everyone's eyebrows up like, oh, okay, all right. He's actually going to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's usually been going with a rotation lately, but at this point, nah, you know what? That makes sense. Like, Pilot has been analytically a top four defenseman.
Yeah.
He's had some bad games, and he's sat for those games. And everyone that goes ahead and says, why not Scandella? Look, if he hasn't been benched by now, he's never going to get benched this season. It's not happening. I'm sorry, but that's just what the reality is. If he hasn't been benched by now, it's not happening. Get over it. He's in the lineup. You're going to have to just be angry because you're not getting your wish. And trust me, after the weekend that we just had where the Sabres lost badly, UB lost, and then the Super Bowl was a travesty and the Patriots still won, there's proof that we just have to deal with the bad things that are dealt.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what the
sports weekend of January to February teaching you in adversity of sports.
I don't know what the D pairings are going to look like once Nelson comes back. Once he's like actually playing.
I'd imagine Nelson becomes a rotational figure, but it's the question of with whom.
Probably my guess would be Pilot.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the most legitimate guess I would put.
Yeah, those two and Hunwick.
I doubt Hunwick plays more than five games this season.
No, I doubt it too, but he's at least going to be there. As we saw, they will put him in.
Well, they've only put him in for three games this year.
They will still put him in, though.
I think he only gets two the rest of the way.
Hopefully.
If they're healthy.
Possibly. Hopefully.
If they're healthy.
If there's no other injuries, yeah, absolutely. I would absolutely agree.
If they're healthy, he plays maybe only two games the rest of the way. So, does the injury that started the year for him help in that low number? Yeah, that's definitely a factor. But if he was also healthy, do they keep him on the roster anywhere? Do they stick with Nelson? Probably stick with Nelson.
Yeah. And no, they're not going to trade him.
Who, Hunwick?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're not. They want to try to keep that cost lower on that pick.
Yeah.
People, unless they find something that makes it truly worth it, like someone to take that cap figure off.
Yeah, that'd be the only reason. That would be the only reason, but you're
there's
got
to
find one.
There's got to be a decent return coming back.
You're not going to find one.
Yeah. They're not looking to ship him off. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
But if they're asking for Matt Hunwick and they're asking for a price that is more than good enough to make that change worth it to the third pick instead of a fourth pick, they'll pull the
trigger.
Let's
be real, though. If a team is calling about Matt Hunwick, that team is bad.
Or they're looking for defensive help and willing to overpay for it.
Then you would call for Beaulieu.
Say some team decided to drunkenly ask for a third-round pick for Hunwick. You just do it instead of...
Yeah, you would just do that anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad Chiarelli's not employed.
Man, Peter Chiarelli. The Nathan Peterman of general managers.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Peter Chiarelli actually did something good to begin with.
I mean, he's at least won a Stanley Cup.
Nathan Peterman was good at Pitt. So I don't take it back. Peter Chiarelli's that bad.
Okay.
Let it go. Stop making fun of Peterman. No.
Yeah, no.
I never will.
Never.
It's the meme that will never die.
The Peter meme.
Some things are just meant to transcend time. And I think Nathan Peterman and that Super Bowl will be two of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I swear to God, now for Super Bowls, I need to be ready and more prepared, Frank. I need to bring a board game with me at minimum to a Super Bowl party. Because if the Super Bowl is butt, just like that one was, and it was butt, watching that Super Bowl probably was like the equivalent of watching the New Jersey Devils win those Stanley Cups. That's how terrible it was. That's how soul-sucking it was. There was no fun. It was the equivalent of dump, trap, restrict, clutch and grab, Brodeur makes saves, go kill Paul Kariya real quick, score one goal, win 1-0. Series. That was football equivalent. Punt, punt, punt. Edelman gets some yards, then punt. Missed field goal, punt, punt. Actual field goal, punt. Repeat. Win 13-3. Oh, I forgot. Random touchdown. Punt, punt, missed field goal, then end of game.
Accurate. That's pretty accurate.
Unlike the kicking.
Yeah.
And the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I was so mad at that game, I couldn't even appreciate Tony Romo. I couldn't hear what he was saying because I was lamenting what was going on in front of my eyeballs.
Did you watch earlier in the day the Tony Goes to the Super Bowl 1 hour thing on
CBS?
No,
I did not.
I enjoyed watching that, but the thing that I enjoyed the most about that was the Geico commercials. The reason is they played a lot of like old Geico commercials, like the caveman ones. And like, remember the one that had with the pig in the car seat hold with like the pinwheels screaming out the window.
Yep.
They play like a couple of the old Geico commercials, and they cropped Romo into them.
Dear God.
I don't know why I found that hilarious, and I found that way more entertaining than the game. And I would rather watch that 1 hour special again with the commercials in there. Then rewatch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was just a really, really bad game. And as much as I would like to keep making fun of it, we also do need to move on, like you said. You need to fire that thing into the sun.
Well, here, I got a tweet that I can read.
Oh, okay.
That could get your mind off of it. Off the Super Bowl. This is from Larry Brooks. He writes for the Rangers.
Oh, no.
For the New York Post.
Oh, no. What did Brooksy say?
Panthers interested in dealing for Bobrovsky as prelude to enticing him to sign what would be an 8-year extension. Broussard would likely be part of the package going to Columbus in return. So trade stuff.
We had a technical error where our last podcast did not get uploaded, and I screamed at Frank for like 40 minutes about the Columbus freaking Blue Jackets.
I'm mad that that didn't get uploaded.
And guess what? There's reports about Bobrovsky and maybe deal there, and maybe they should trade the goalie that doesn't matter to their franchise anymore and is playing just as good as his backup is. Huh?
Do we have to go back to it?
Maybe they should just do it, Frank. Maybe they should just do it.
Here's the thing.
Try to get a young forward from Florida so that you can replace Panarin. Deal him off.
Hey, if you get a good package for Bobrovsky, take it. But if you don't, then don't try to trade him.
I wouldn't want Broussard in that deal, actually. I would want a younger guy that I can go ahead
and... it would be probably Broussard for a roster spot and to help with the cap, too. But then you would probably get a young guy, too, like Owen Tippett. He's one of Florida's top young forward prospects.
I would have tried to go with a guy that's on the roster, but guess what? They dealt a guy like Nick Bjugstad
and Jeremy McCann
for Derek Broussard,
who they're going to trade again.
Well, it would be interesting to see what Florida could do there. And wasn't Florida mentioned as one of those teams that could be that type to go ahead and secure the rights to Bobrovsky and maybe... I'm not saying my rant was unjustified either.
What would a Bobrovsky to Florida deal look like? Assume Derek Broussard is a part of the trade.
I don't know Florida's roster.
I have it up. If we're talking Columbus would want a young forward to potentially replace Panarin with, there's not much options on the roster right now.
What about Vinny Trocheck?
Yeah. I don't think Florida would trade him, though, if they just traded Bjugstad. Because they wouldn't really have that good of a second-line center option after Barkov. Because they have Henrik Borgstrom, who is a center, but he's also a rookie. And would you thrust him into the second line center role?
Yes, it happened to Casey Mittelstadt.
Well, that was that'd be thing. You would have another Casey Mittelstadt.
They're already out of the playoff picture. Why not get him more?
I'm saying maybe they move Borgstrom as that young forward.
But is Bobrovsky really worth all that?
What if it's like Broussard, Borgstrom, and a first-round pick?
If a first-round pick is involved and a young player for Sergei Bobrovsky, they overpaid.
And you know what? That might happen. And then that's one of those cases where I would say you trade Bobrovsky if you can get something like that.
And Columbus should probably trade Panarin too, because guess what they're doing? They're going on that slide, Frank. They're going on that slide that everyone was hoping
for. The big thing going around Florida is that they want both.
Like Artemi Panarin's going to sign with the freaking Florida Panthers.
You know what?
Dude doesn't want to stay in the city of Columbus. What makes you think Sunrise is going to be attractive enough for him?
If you entice him to Florida, the actual idea of living in Florida.
With Miami?
Yeah. Miami atmosphere. You know, things like that.
Which is like 40 minutes away. I don't know if it's actually 40 minutes away. How far is Sunrise from Miami? Google map it.
I'm going to Google map it.
Google map it.
I want to say 30.
That's still not great.
No, it's not.
Could you imagine being a Columbus fan and watching Artemi Panarin sign with the Florida Panthers?
That would suck.
That'd be a punch right in the jejunum.
Yeah.
Not only would you get punched, you'd then puke. You ever been punched in the jejunum, Frank?
No.
Hurts.
Okay.
It don't feel good twice. Jackie Moon would attest.
Yeah, sunrise is probably pending on the day. We'll say about 40.
Ew.
40 minutes north of Miami.
Dear
like downtown
God.
Miami.
Nice. Perfect. Yeah. That's a great selling pitch for Artemi Panarin.
Well, I mean, a lot of the reports is that he wants to go to a big city.
I feel like
and the Rangers are the number one team. Are the number one team linked to that? Linked to him.
He could want to go back to Chicago.
Maybe,
but they don't have the cap space.
Yeah, they're kind of in cap hell right now.
Rangers probably don't want to be given out a big contract. They want to rebuild. LA is
trash.
Yeah,
but if a guy like Panarin comes up says I want to sign with the Rangers.
LA is garbage.
Yeah.
God, do you think he chases Toronto?
No.
Crap baskets. That would be terrible for us.
No way.
Sure, let's throw Artemi Panarin into all the troubles.
Yeah, no no way Panarin goes to Toronto.
Damn, that would be terrifying.
No way Panarin goes to Toronto.
Like if Marleau were to retire and you get that money back. Oh my God.
They still have to sign Matthews and Marner, though.
I know, but like if they manage to teams have managed
there's
to finagle cap scenarios before.
There's a scenario where that actually could happen, actually. Panarin could go to Toronto. It would involve, yes, Marleau. Well, if Marleau retired.
If Panarin sides in Boston, that would be so much worse.
He's not going to sign in Boston.
I know, but it's a big city. I'm labeling off big cities here, okay?
I know. The Rangers are the team that it's closest to, closest linked.
Washington, Pittsburgh both have their own scenarios to deal with.
But we're talking like big cities. So like when you talk about big cities in the U.S., you're thinking New York and L.A.
If he signs with the Rangers or the Kings in their current state, then he really doesn't care about anything.
And like I said, Florida could entice him.
He signs in Edmonton because Shirelli's not there. Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
Looks like once again we're going to end with Artemi Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky. Granted, the other one didn't get uploaded.
I will say, too, I think if Bobrovsky gets traded to Florida, probably James Reimer is included in that deal.
Yeah, get a goalie back.
Yeah.
The guy who could
Broussard,
back up
Reimer,
Korpisalo.
A young forward and a first-round pick. If Columbus can get that for Bobrovsky.
Pull the trigger.
Pull the damn trigger, yeah.
Even a second-round pick instead of a first.
Yeah.
If it means a younger forward, I'd knock it down to a third. Because you get
yeah,
a backup.
You get like Owen Tippett. If you could get you like
can,
Owen Tippett.
Yeah, because then you can get a backup goalie to help you right now with Korpisalo.
You get another center for your – you get another piece on your roster.
You get a young piece for your roster
and
to
a
move
really,
forward with.
And a good young forward. Yeah, young winger too.
Yeah, and then you can get a pick, either a second or third rounder. I would easily knock it down from a first if it meant helping something right now because they want to be a playoff team, don't they?
Yeah.
There's your fine balance.
Yep.
And yes, I know the trade deadline's coming. It's coming, and the Sabres...
3 weeks.
The Sabres could be in
Three
a spot
weeks.
Where we're suddenly looking at selling things off.
I don't think so. I know.
Not major things. If Jeff Skinner is even talked about, I'm slamming the phone down. Here's... All right, ready? Frank and I are going to mimic the Jeff Skinner trade scenario.
Okay.
That would happen if I'm Jason Bottrell.
So you're Jason Bottrell?
Yes.
Okay.
Give me that ring.
Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
It's Bottrell. Who dis?
Hi, this is Dale Talon from the Florida Panthers.
Hey, what's going on, Dale? What are you calling here for?
Not that much. So We're looking at adding a forward for a potential playoff run, even though we're kind of not in it, but we think we can still win.
Let's be more realistic on this.
Deltown's the first guy I thought of just because of...
We were talking about Florida?
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't we look at a real playoff team? Let's try it again.
All right, fine. I'll do like Pittsburgh or something. I'll do Rutherford.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Buddies.
Buddies, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Ring, ring.
Jason Bottrell, Buffalo Sabres.
Hey, JB, it's Rutherford. What's up, man?
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Nothing.
Long time no talk.
Yeah, good. So, listen, we need to add a forward for a playoff run.
Okay, I mean, I'm listening. I mean, we've done business here before.
What's your price on Skinner?
Goodbye.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Here you go, Frank. Now it's your turn to be Jason Bottrell.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Ring, ring. Ring.
Jason Bottrell's office.
Hey, this is George McPhee with the Vegas Golden Knights. How you doing here, Jason?
Hey, George. What's up, man?
Hey, I am looking at some enticing pieces. I've had some scouts at your games recently, and, I'm looking at a couple of pieces looking for some scoring depth to try to make another run to the cup.
Okay.
All right, I've got to ask, what's your I've got a lot of picks. I got a lot of prospects.
Yeah.
Cody Glass might even be on the table here.
Okay.
What would you be looking for Jeff Skinner? Damn it. And scene. That is how it should go in the Sabres front office.
Actually,
I would also
I would also expect Boucher to be like, to he hears that. What's your price, Jeff Skinner? New phone. Who this?
Wait, we were just talking.
new phone. Who this?
You got a literal new phone while we were having this conversation?
New phone. Who this?
But there could be other pieces on the move. I mean, Jason Pominville was somehow mentioned with
Elliot Freeman's 31 Thoughts podcast.
Freeman has not always been the most accurate with Buffalo.
Yeah.
But he is an insider. The name comes up. Therefore, it is something that you have to
remember.
You have to put an ear to the ground.
These are all just rumors, too. I think that's the biggest thing that people...
When an insider catches a name, you have to at least hear it out.
But I think that's the problem that a lot of people don't really understand about what the insiders are doing.
They're hearing names.
That doesn't mean that it's 100% certain they'll get traded.
But it's something that you go ahead and you...
But he'll report saying that, yeah, teams have been calling Bottrell about Jason Pominville. Yeah. That doesn't mean Bottrell wants to trade Pominville. He's doing his... As a GM, you have to listen to every player. Have guys who are saying, we're not trading him at all, but then you could be like, Vegas could call Buffalo, be like, what's the price on Pominville? Bottrell could say a fourth round pick. Vegas would be like, yeah, we don't want to do that. And then be like, hey, Pominville's name has been out there, but
it also could be a solid to Jason Pominville. If the Sabres fall out of the playoff contention, they might owe it to him as the final season of his contract to give him another shot at a potential cup run here.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
That might be the other case.
I think that was brought up too in the 31 Thoughts podcast. But I'm just saying, it's like when people
just like with Bull U, how you're looking at possibly doing the man a favor.
You might do the same thing with Pominville.
You might be doing the same thing with Jason Pominville.
But I'm just saying, when Freeman gets talked about, he's not really good with Buffalo stuff. I don't think it's that he's not good with Buffalo stuff. It's just that he's reporting what he's hearing. It just doesn't end up going that way.
Yeah. I mean,
we've seen Jason Lock-on-Four
be bad with pretty much everything. But guess what? During the Rex Ryan era, Lock-on-Four was on fire with the Bills.
Yeah, but that's the way with every player, with every team. That's it. They're rumored. They're called rumors for a reason. They're called rumblings for a reason.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean if Dreger were to tweet right now, Pominville's getting traded, you listen. You think, oh, he's getting traded. Where is he going to? Freeman could easily be the first one to say that. And if apparently he doesn't get things right with Buffalo, you could be like, well, he could be wrong.
When the things are said, like, this guy is getting traded, like, when those facts come down, it could be Freeman, it could be Dreger, it could be LeBron, McKenzie, it could be any one of those guys.
Kiprios.
Yeah, like, when it breaks like that, it breaks.
Yeah.
It's, when the rumors are swirling around, that's where I go,
Oh?
I still do the same thing as I do with anyone else. Oh, okay. I'm interested. Listening. I'm listening, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like again, I'm not saying any. I'm not trying to trash Elliot Friedman here. By the
no.
way.
No. Oh no. I love Elliot Friedman. I listen to his 31 Thoughts podcast all the time, and I read his 31 Thoughts articles all the time.
Yeah. Too. It's one of those things, though. It's just where you know I've seen it where you know. Some guys are more plugged into certain teams than others.
I don't really believe the fact that Friedman's not good with Buffalo. I just think he reports what he hears is probably just it might not just be as good as what others are. By the way, so funny enough, Darren Dreger just tweeted something.
Uh-oh.
Pat Brisson in Ottawa today meeting with Pierre Dorion about a Matt Duchene contract extension.
That would be an interesting one. All right.
So I just find that funny how I talk about Dreger tweeting something and then
now there's something
did.
There.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Leftovers podcast here on WGR550.com and on demand audio. I hope it was more interesting than your 4 hours of Super Bowl.
I had more fun with this. I always have more fun with this.
It was also a really low bar, that Super Bowl.
Yeah, too.
Let's be real about something. I could have more fun trying to jump on a pogo stick.
You want to do that?
Where does anyone have a pogo stick?
Target.
The fact that you know that well.
It was just the first place I thought of. I don't know if they actually have pogo sticks in stock. But that was just the first place I thought of. It's better than saying Walmart.
All right. Well, yeah. All right. We're going to end it on that stupidity. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you next time. Well, I mean, you'll hear from us next time.
Thursday.
On Thursday. Sabres will have played against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. And they'll play Carolina that night.
And they will play Carolina on Thursday. We'll see what happens. We'll see how angry this fan base can get. If the Sabres lose again in the homestand, well, we might be looking at a different direction of how we view this team. If they can win, then things aren't dead yet in the playoff race. They do need to get something going, though. And we'll see if this line mix-up can do something about it. Thanks for listening. Later.